Welcome, everybody, to the second service here on this Labor Day Sunday weekend. As Scott has said in the past, we welcome you because this is the fellowship of all those who don't have a lake house to go to on a holiday weekend. So we're the fellowship of the poor, and I'm so glad that you're here, and it's a great fellowship today. We are continuing in our series about Jesus as the light in the Gospel of John. And this morning we've come to John chapter 10, where Jesus makes his famous pronouncement that he is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. I just want to give you a little bit of context for his statement that he is the good shepherd. You see, Jesus was living in the first century in Palestine, the Middle East, where shepherd had a special meaning. And the special meaning of shepherd came from the context of the wilderness there in the Middle East, where shepherds cared for their sheep. I've been there recently and several times to see the wilderness where Jesus is saying that he's the good shepherd. And it's pretty stark, it's pretty barren. I mean, a shepherd, this is the wilderness of sin, the wilderness of Judea, right outside of Jerusalem. This is right like Bethlehem, where David was a shepherd. It's close to where Jesus was born, and the shepherds came. I mean, it's bleak, it's barren, it's full of rocks and stones, it's full of predators, animals that prey on the sheep. It's a place that is pretty dry. You can't find water. You can't find food. There's danger lurking everywhere. The wilderness is where Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Now, who are the sheep? We are the sheep. Human beings are the sheep. Human beings are sheep living in a wilderness like this in the world at large. We're living in a wilderness where it's hard to find spiritual food, where living water is scarce, where there's all sorts of danger, falling off cliffs into pits that ruin our lives of predators who want to use and abuse us. Jesus saw people as the sheep that he was shepherding in the wilderness. On one occasion, we learn this in Mark chapter 6, when it says, so they went away themselves in a boat to a solitary place, Jesus and his disciples. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. So Jesus and his disciples are out in this solitary place, in this wilderness, if you will, and all these people come to them. It says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because why? They were like sheep without a shepherd. They were in the wilderness as sheep without a shepherd. And the one thing that we have to understand as context for everything that Jesus says in John chapter 10 is that sheep in the wilderness desperately need a good shepherd. Desperately need a good shepherd. In John 10, Jesus is going to say, I am the good shepherd. But he's also going to be talking about a lot of others who are bad shepherds. Jesus wants to offer himself as the good shepherd to the sheep, but he has a lot of competition from bad shepherds. And so in John 10, we're going to learn the contrast between the bad shepherds and the good shepherd, so that we can come to a point of deciding which one we're going to follow in this wilderness called the world. Look at verse 1 of chapter 10. Jesus wants us to know that there are false shepherds who are here really not to minister to the sheep, not to lead the sheep, not to bless the sheep, not to help the sheep, not to save the sheep, but to steal from the sheep and to kill the sheep and to destroy their lives. Verse 1, verily, truly, I say to you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs up by some other way is a thief and a robber. Verse 5, Jesus says, but they will never follow a stranger, the sheep in God's sheepfold. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Verse 8, all who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus is saying there's these bad shepherds, and they have not come in through the sheep gate. They have infiltrated Israel, and they are leading people astray, and they are damaging and destroying and killing them. I think what Jesus had in mind when he's talking about these false shepherds were the Pharisees from John chapter 9. Were you with us last week? We saw Jesus heal the man who was born blind. And the response of the religious shepherds, the Pharisees of Israel, was to condemn the man and to condemn Jesus as sinners because Jesus had had the temerity to heal him on the Sabbath day. They kicked that man out of the synagogue because he trusted in Jesus. They weren't there, Jesus is saying, to bless this man and to be shepherds in the wilderness for this man. They were there to use this man and to reject him and to destroy his life. The fact of the matter is, Jesus is saying is, that in this wilderness called life in this world, in this broken, fallen world, there are many false shepherds. There are many bad shepherds who come to kill and steal and destroy. I believe that this is a metaphor for any system, any philosophy, any evil leader, any movement that would present itself to people in this world as a shepherd that's going to provide for their needs. But that robs and steals and kills from people as they follow that shepherd. It's like the frog who consulted the fortune teller. This is not a true story, but it's a good one. A frog consults a fortune teller. He's looking in his crystal ball, and the frog wants to know what's going to happen. And the fortune teller says that the frog is going to meet a beautiful young woman with an insatiable desire to learn more about him, the frog. And that this beautiful young woman is going to be compelled to get close to the frog. Of course, the frog is very overjoyed to hear this news. But he's curious. He says, so what is the context? Am I going to see her like in a nightclub or something like that? The fortune teller replies, no, biology class. This is what we call the old bait and switcheroo. Bait and switcheroo. Offered something that is appealing. Offered something that you want to go to. That has all sorts of great, like, offers and promises. But when you follow it, you wind up in biology class. Philosophical systems. Hedonism. Getting involved with movements, political, religious, otherwise, that promise the moon. If only you'll get in and go this way. These are the false prophets. These are the false shepherds that Jesus says, they promise great things. But all they produce in your life is misery, death, and destruction. Don't believe it? Just ask the devotee whose faith has been battered by a TV preacher. Or a person whose life has been enslaved by a cult leader. Ask somebody whose bank account has been drained by a religious con artist. Ask the drug experimenter who's followed the dream of nirvana through altered reality and who's lost their mind and their life. Ask the porn-addicted spouse who's just lost their marriage. What kind of shepherd was that? Or the political and social activist whose fanaticism has made them angry and robbed them of their peace and isolated them from their families. Ask the hedonist who has realized too late that pleasure cannot quiet the ache in their hearts. Or the idolater who has gained the world but lost their soul. They have followed false shepherds, and their lives have been devastated. Their peace has been stolen. And to add insult to injury, Jesus says that when it hits the fan, they disappear. Verse 12, Jesus says, the hired hand is not the shepherd. It does not own the sheep. He has no vested interest in the sheep. He doesn't love the sheep. He doesn't care about the sheep. Sheep are there for him to fleece, not for him to bless. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Jesus is saying, we are all sheep in the wilderness, and sheep in the wilderness desperately need a good shepherd, but there's a whole lot of bad shepherds out there. Beware. Beware. On the other hand, Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd who laid down his life to give his sheep abundant life. He didn't come to steal from them and to kill them and to destroy them. He came to forgive them and to include them in life and to lead them in life abundant. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I'm the good shepherd, he says again. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. I take it that Jesus is talking about not just the Jewish people that he was talking to with his disciples there in Israel, but, you know, eventually in the New Testament and the travels of Paul the Apostle, the heart set free. That the Gentiles and the Jews, all people, in other words, Jesus is bringing out a flock of his people as the good shepherd to lead them and to bless them and to save them and to give them abundant life. He says, they too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. I lay down my life only to take it up again. What do you suppose Jesus meant by that? He's the good shepherd. And he knew that he was going to die for the sheep. He did it willingly. He did it voluntarily. He says, I willingly go to lay down my life for the sheep, and I'm going to take it up again. He's going to be dead and buried, and in 3 days he's going to rise again. Jesus knew this way in advance. That's why he came. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus says, this is one of the reasons my Father loves me. Why? Because in contradistinction to the bad shepherds who basically are there to fleece the sheep and then run when the wolf comes, Jesus came to die for the sheep and never desert them, though it cost him his very life. The interesting thing, whenever Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, the word for good there is not what we would expect. Most common Greek word for good is agathos. It means good. I'm the good shepherd, as opposed to a bad shepherd. Use the word kalos, noble. I am the noble shepherd. Why is he noble? It is because he doesn't cut and run. He doesn't desert the sheep. In fact, he gets in front of the predators, defends the sheep, and lays down his life for the sheep, that they may be set free and have life. Isaiah the prophet tells us in advance what the shepherd was going to do. In Isaiah 53:6, we all like sheep have gone astray. That's all of us human beings broken by sin, living in a broken world called the wilderness. We are sheep in the wilderness. We have all gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, who? Jesus, the good shepherd. The Lord has laid on the good shepherd the iniquity of us all. Why did Jesus die? Why did he say the good shepherd has come to lay down his life for the sheep and then to take it up again? It is so that he could pay for the sins of the world, that he could be our sin bearer, that God would put all our sins upon him and Jesus would go to the cross and he would die and he would shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sins so that the Heavenly Father could forgive us and bring us into the flock, the family of God forever and lead us through time and into eternity, never deserting us, but rather giving us abundant life. That's what Jesus talks about. Look at verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. All those who come to the Father come through him. He is the gate to the sheep. He is the shepherd who in that fold in the wilderness that I showed you with the stone wall around, but the opening in between, he lays his life in that opening. He is the gate for the sheep. We come through faith in Christ to enter into the flock of God. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Whoever puts their faith in me as their Savior, as their shepherd, will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Coming in and going out is a picture of freedom and peace because you can only come in and out of a protective gate if there is peace outside and if there is security inside. And find pasture. What is pasture? It is spiritual food and hope. It is spiritual drink. And faith that doesn't remove you from the wilderness, but it carries you through it. Jesus says they will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I've come to have that they might have life, that you might have life. I'm going to give you that life by dying on the cross and rising again, paying for your sins and enabling you to come in through the gate by faith in me, my finished work for you of redemption. And when you come in, you become part of my flock, and I will lead you into an abundant life. I will lead you. Now I'm going to read Psalm 23. You all knew I was going to read Psalm 23, didn't you? In fact, you all realize that if I don't read Psalm 23 in the context of John 10, I am practicing malfeasance as a preacher. I love Psalm 23, and I see it as David in the Old Testament foreseeing what the abundant life that Christ came to give to his sheep looks like. As you go through this wilderness as a sheep of his pasture, as a sheep who is following the good shepherd, Psalm 23 is the expression of what abundant life looks like as we follow him. It's been precious for me personally. Over several, many years, especially the last 15 or so years in my life, as I have, as sheep in this wilderness, I've walked through a lot of stuff. But because I've been following him, my life has been abundant. The 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. David, as an Old Testament sheep, is forecasting what it's like to be a New Testament follower of the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given his life to bring us into his flock and then to lead us through the wilderness. When I'm going through the wilderness following Christ as my Good Shepherd, I'm not going to want for anything. There will be no lack. I'm not going to be like those sheep that are abused by the bad shepherds, who have stolen and robbed the peace in their life, the blessing in their life, the hope in their life. No. Jesus is my good shepherd, and because I follow him, I will lack nothing. Whenever the going gets tough, whenever it gets hot and sticky, whenever I'm walking through some hard passages in my life, as we often do, as you often do, as I often do, he's going to make me lie down in green pastures. He's going to feed my soul. He's going to lead me beside quiet waters, and he's going to refresh my soul. See, this is what abundant life and following the Good Shepherd is all about. The abundant life is not what so many of us think it is. I'm going to strike it rich. I'm going to win the lottery. I'm going to make $1 million. I'm going to be healthy and strong until I'm 150 years old. I'm going to rule this, and I'm going to lead that, and I'm going to be the success that everybody envies. Jesus is going to give me the abundant life. Abundant life, my friends, is not God removing the wilderness, because he doesn't. It's him giving us joy and hope and peace as we walk through it. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. And when I get afraid, when something comes into my life, terrifies me, as it has for you, as it has for me, most especially a few years ago when I got a cancer diagnosis, stage 4. Even then, when I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're not like the bad shepherds. They cut and run when the chips are down. You stay. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And when I go through passages in my life when I don't know where the next provision is coming from, or maybe I've been flooded out of my home and I've lost everything and I don't know what's going to happen, that's okay, because the Lord is going to prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He's going to anoint my head with oil. My cup is going to overflow. When I get impatient and anxious, which, you know, my whole way of being all 61 years of my life is to be impatient. So I kind of stay that way. Surely, God's goodness and love is going to follow me all the days of my life, and I know that I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep so that they can have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus is the good shepherd who goes before his sheep who put their faith in him, even as they traverse the danger and the sometimes heartache of the wilderness. Jesus is the good shepherd who, by going before us and staying with us in the wilderness, makes our life in the wilderness abundant. Last week I was watching some of the hurricane coverage and all the stories, and there's hundreds of them that are coming out of this great tragedy that has befallen so many millions. And I had the TV on in the background. I was doing something else in my home study, and it was a reporter, and he was interviewing this guy who had his son with him. And you know, it was like 100 other stories that I'd already heard about that. So I wasn't listening very carefully when it first came on, but then as I heard the man begin to speak in answer to some of the reporter's questions, I began to perk up, because it became very obvious to me that this man, his name is Jeremiah, he was there hand in hand with his 6-year-old son, also named Jeremiah, but he calls him Jeremy. It was very obvious to me that this man was a sheep in the good shepherd's flock. He was my brother's sheep. And I could tell that by his answers to this reporter's questions. I can't play the video for you, but I can show you his picture, and I can tell you how the conversation went. This reporter approaches Jeremiah and his son. They are walking through thigh-deep water. They have just been rescued. A police boat, I think, or a military boat, had brought them away from their home, which was underwater. And they're walking now to the relief station, hand in hand, thigh-deep in water. Jeremiah has a backpack on his back. And in that backpack are all their worldly possessions for him and for his son. So that's the setting. The reporter comes up to him, puts a mic in his face, and he says, "What happened?" And Jeremiah says, "Well, you know, the rain came, the water came down, and the floods came up. And, you know, that's kind of what happened. And we kind of got stuck." And how they had been rescued, and then Jeremiah stops talking. He stops talking to the reporter, and he looks right in the camera, and he says these words: "We thank God Then he says it again. "We thank God." This is when I perked up, because I'm going, this is not what I expected to hear. I started watching this thing. "We thank God. We thank God. This is all we got," pointing to his backpack. He said, "We lost the car, all the clothes, school clothes. Everything's gone. Everything's gone." At that point, the reporter asks, "Where are you going to go next?" And Jeremiah replies, "We don't know." And so then the reporter asked the question that everybody wanted him to ask. I wanted him to ask. "In light of this fact, you've just been rescued, but you've lost everything. You've got your son here, and the backpack on your back is all you have. You don't even know where you're going to go." And the reporter asked him, "But you're still thankful to God?" Jeremiah says, "Yes. We are grateful to God." Sheep in the wilderness desperately need a good shepherd. Without a good shepherd, They will perish there. But with the Good Shepherd, we can go through fire or floods. We can go through pain or suffering. We can go through difficulties or challenges beyond measure. But if we're following Him, we can experience life. Jeremiah lost everything, but he's still grateful to God. Why? Because gratefulness is an expression of an abundant life. So there's the contrast that Jesus draws between a good shepherd himself and the bad shepherds in John chapter 10. The question comes down to us by way of application. Which shepherd will we choose? Which shepherd do you choose? Back up in verse 3, Jesus himself said, I call my own sheep by name and I lead them out. You've got this choice in life between the good shepherd, Jesus, and all the other bad shepherds of this world that just want to chew you up and examine you in biology class. And Jesus says, as you're making this decision, I, the good shepherd, am calling you by name to follow me. He is. You say, Andy, I never knew that. I never heard Jesus calling my name. Well, you just have. He is calling your name. He's been calling your name. The only question is, will you answer? Will you say, Lord Jesus, you are the good shepherd. You are the noble shepherd. You laid down your life for me and you took it up again to pay for my sins. Usher me in by faith to the family of God, the flock of God. And you promise to lead me now through the fire and through the flood, through my life, so that my life, even though it is still in this wilderness until I die and go to heaven, is going to be an abundant life. He's calling you to that. He's inviting you to that by name. He's not like these bad shepherds to whom you're a number or a Facebook follower or a Twitter feed. He is the good shepherd who calls you by name. He loves you. He knows you. And he wants you to be his sheep. He wants you to follow him. Will you answer? When Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, introduced the Lord's table, in a way, he was kind of reprising with his disciples his conversation about his work as the good shepherd in John chapter 10. When Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd of the sheep, and he used that word kalos, I am the noble shepherd of the sheep. Why am I noble? Because I'm not like these bad shepherds that cut and run. I stay and fight, even if it means laying down my life. And that's what it is going to mean for me, Jesus is saying to his disciples in the upper room on the last night before he was crucified. I'm going to die for you. My body is going to be broken, symbolized by the bread. My blood is going to be shed, symbolized by the cup. And it's all because I love you. I'm not here to use you. I'm not here to suck you dry, spit you out, and cast you by the side of the road. I'm the good shepherd. I know your name. I know your heartaches. I know everything about you, and I'm calling you to follow me as your good shepherd. The night in which he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is given for you. The good shepherd giving his life for you. Later he said, this is the cup of the new covenant. He took the cup And he said, this represents my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This is the blood of the Good Shepherd poured over you so that I could be your sin bearer, like Isaiah said. The Lord laid the iniquity of us all on him, and he paid for it. The Good Shepherd has done all of this so that we could live and live abundantly. If you've never trusted him, if you've never said to him, Lord Jesus, I hear you calling my name and I'm answering now. I trust you. I love you. Cover me. Lead me. I want to be a sheep of your flock forever. If you've never done that, what a greater time to do it than right now, right before we celebrate these elements. And if you have done that, but you've followed a different path, even though you're a sheep of his flock, but you've kind of gotten outside the wall, and like that one sheep that Jesus talks about in Luke, that kind of got away and took a wild trip on the outside of the wall. And Jesus left the 99 and he went looking. If that's you, come on back. Come on back into the sheepfold. Follow the Good Shepherd and express it all by receiving these elements. Let's worship Christ as we do.